This is Near FM
90.3.
With so many things happening in the housing end of things, I haven't spoken to my next guest in quite some time. We thought we had to get him on. Dublin City Councillor and CEO of Inner City Helping Homeless, Anthony Flynn, is joining me now. I mean, there's plans for 200 apartments in Phibsborough, which have been approved despite council opposition. The council went against and they're selling the lands at Dublin's Plough Pub for a loss. And I'm at a loss to what is going on really with these properties and developments. Hello, Anthony. Can you help us in any way, or maybe let us have a rant here this morning about what's going on?
Good afternoon. We'll try and give you some kind of insight into what's going on. So I suppose Phibsborough, we started in Phibsborough in regard to you know, there's been multiple objections in regard to the planning in terms of the one-bedroom units that were going in there. And myself, Councillor Perry, and Councillor Manix Finn have actually started a process in regard to a judicial review on that whole process. So we're hoping to have news on that this week. You know, what we're looking at is build-to-rent, you know, units being popping up right across the city at the moment, you know, and these are not building long-term sustainable communities or, you know, homes for families. What we're seeing is that we have an issue in terms of, you know, these are basically for the likes of the Facebooks and the Googles and the other corporations that have come into Ireland as a tax haven and are still being dealt with that way. So, I suppose the Plough Pub, that came up on the Central Area Committee agenda a number of weeks ago, and one of the issues that I had in regards to that was obviously the value in terms of what Dublin City Council paid for and the level of deprivation that Dublin City Council allowed the unit to fall into over many, many years, and then put it on the market at, you know, a reduced value, you know, which seems absolutely ridiculous. And you know, a number of councillors have had issue in terms of that. You know, what we seem to have a number of properties around the city and they keep coming up for notation at Central Area and area committees and then for sale when it does come to the full council. And I think that the issue here is that we're not getting value for money and we're certainly not working, you know, on behalf of the taxpayer here. You know, how we could be in a situation where these lands over many, many years, or not even lands, buildings, are just being left to deprivate. You know, we're not maintaining or sustaining those buildings. We're really, really are in a situation now where Dublin City Council must be the only you know, I suppose, landowner that's not getting value for money, because everybody else seems to have land or property right across this city or even country. You know, what we're hearing time after time and the DAFT reports will prove it is that the cost of housing is rising, the cost of property continues to rise, yet Dublin City Council seem to be, you know, it's a pat on the back deal that seems to be getting done between private investors and companies. And the company that was set up in terms of the Plough Pub is only in operation a couple of years, you know, so a lot of it is not making sense, you know, and I think what we need to do is look at the management here. We need to look at the management overall in Dublin City Council, and the valuers in Dublin City Council that are giving us these absolutely atrocious and ridiculous values on properties that are obviously worth a hell of a lot more in terms of private investment and private development. And even the deal that was done on the Plough Pub is not the best deal in the town, but it was the only deal that was going to be done, where Dublin City Council are going to buy back the units that are built for social housing on top of that that land. I think it's about 6 units that will be built, and the first offer will come back to Dublin City Council to buy those 6 units. But even that, it's a ridiculous deal and it shouldn't be happening.
What would the current the actual current value for that site alone, you know, even if the problem, like they're saying they're selling it for 550,000. I mean, that's just crazy for that huge site.
I think we paid over 750 or 800,000 for. Yes. You know, we lost on average about 200 to 220,000 on the actual the buy and sell of the building. I know there was a public house license attached to it when we bought it, but what we also have to be looking at is what were we thinking when we're buying you know, units with public house license on them, with bar licenses on them, and leaving them there to deprivate. Well, why aren't we using them for artist spaces? Why aren't we using them for community development spaces? You know, and the real question needs to be asked in terms of responsibility of the executive here. You know, the executive have an awful lot of power in terms of Dublin City Council, and one of the only reserved functions for Dublin City Councillors is the sale of land. You know, and when they're coming back to us with these absolutely ridiculous notations and prices on land that's clearly more a hell of a lot in the area that it's in, we're a stone's throw away from O'Connell Street when we look at this, you know, on Abbey Street, building values there would predominantly be on the rise. You know, I haven't heard of any other building that has been bought and sold at a loss within that area, yet Dublin City Council seem to have managed to have done that, scored an own goal there. You know, but this is not, I suppose, it's nothing new. We've looked at, like, we saw the Irish Times last week where we're seeing Dublin City Council at the moment are leasing 1,000 social homes from private developers, you know, effectively paying the mortgages on these developments. You know, we're giving lands away for very little money in terms of definitely gardens and so forth, and we're going to lease these units back then, you know, for 25 years from a private developer, effectively paying the loan. And I suppose what we really need to be concentrative of here is the fact that we've got the European Central Bank that have told us that we can borrow money for nearly 0% interest at the moment. So what we should be looking at doing in terms of Dublin City Council, and the Minister in particular, the Department of Housing, should be encouraging the voluntary housing bodies and all the approved housing bodies to go and borrow as much money as they possibly can in order to have a massive widespread build right across this country at the moment. You know, monies are available at a very little loan rate at the moment, and we should be encouraged to go out and take those loans as they are. We should be encouraged to build. Instead, what we're doing is we're taking foreign investment companies, we're taking real estate investment companies that are basically moving into this country, paying very, very little tax on the profits that they make, if any at all. You know, we've seen situations where the Minister for Housing had shares in one of these companies only, you know, a couple of months ago, and sold them, is what he said, at a loss as well. We seem to be very good at making a loss in terms of the Department of Housing and Dublin City Council at the moment.
But none of it makes sense to me, and I'm sure it doesn't make sense to an awful lot of people, you know, like selling off lands or selling off sites at a loss and then buying back at more than what they would cost. I mean, we had somebody from O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance on. Donny was speaking to him only yesterday on the show. And, I mean, he was saying, you know, how they were able to build these homes, like a semi-detached house there in Ballymun, and it can be sold then, a three-bedroom home for $177,000, whereas the equivalent, a developer, is trying to sell like $340,000. You know, so where are they getting this? And they're not helping. They're not taking on board the likes of Clwyd and O'Coolan go and look for help and say, we can do this for you. They're not taking that. They're not, oh, no, sorry, no. We'd rather go to the developers, spend loads of money and get nothing for it and not help anyone to buy a home, an affordable home. I just, nobody can understand all of this.
I think what we need to look at is the fact, and we need to face facts in terms of Dublin City Council are not in a position to be able to build themselves, you know, so that needs to be taken off the table. We should have a model where Dublin City Council are able to build, but in order to put that back into place where Dublin City Council did build many, many years ago, it will take many, many years to set up a proper system there. We've already got, I suppose, the functions in terms of the voluntary housing bodies like O'Coolan, Clwyd Housing, you know, and other housing bodies that are building, right? Respond, for instance, I think are building the most houses up and down the country now at the moment. You know, and they are in a position where they're doing this, and they're doing this very, very good. Instead of being reliant on private investment companies and private investors in order to build social housing and fix what is effectively a social problem, you know, we need people to make very, very tough decisions, and we should be looking, you know, right across the council and my fellow councillors as well, you know, with no problem in saying this, that we're in a situation where we should be telling management that this is not going to be forced down our throat anymore. You know, the executive are making all the decisions, and when you look What happened with the Oscar Traynor lands, for instance, you know, and Councillor John Lyons out there, you know, an amazing campaign that was ran in terms of a new model for public affordable social housing that can be built 100% on that land. You know, we don't need to have private housing. And, you know, right across, we've got to look at it from both scales as well. You know, we do need private housing developments, but we shouldn't be putting private housing developments on public lands. We shouldn't be gifting these developers this land in order for them to give us, you know, what are the crumbs at the end of the table when it comes back to what we're going to earn in terms of, or even having to buy these units back from these developers. The only people that are making money here are these real estate investment companies at the moment, you know, and the council are thinking backwards on how we should be looking at focus, and what we should be looking at, you know, is the likes of Finland and our European counterparts that have done absolutely amazing in terms of, one, eradicating and ending homelessness in many, many countries, but two, in regard to proper public, social and affordable housing models. You know, that can be done. It's been proven to be done already. But what we haven't got here is the political will in order to do that. What we have is the political will to reinvest in private investment companies, you know, that are building these houses. And then basically, you know, this is a deal that's absolutely fabulous for any investment company to come in and turn around and say, OK, look, we will build, because, you know, the council are going to come back and they're going to lease these buildings off you for 25 years. You know, who in their right mind wouldn't want that kind of a deal? And that deal is being struck over and over again. So I suppose we need to change the political narrative. We need to, like, we've heard from the likes of, you know, Mel Reynolds. We've heard from the likes of Orla Hegarty. We've heard from the likes of Rory Hearn, you know, who are well-educated and versed in terms of housing in this country. And the fact of the matter is that we're not listening to the right people. What we're listening, you know, we're listening to economists that are working on behalf of banks and investment companies at the moment, not that are working on behalf of the people, and particularly the people of Dublin. You know, we continue to be at a loss in terms of what we're doing in regard to selling off our land banks and the buildings that we have in this city.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing stinks, actually. Now, to me, there's also a problem there with On Board Planála. I mean, because On Board Planála aren't even going by their own advisors, who might say that, you know, they were talking about that, the Chivers site. They said, no, that wasn't viable. Dublin City Council, you know, even the Phibsborough site, they granted a planning permission there to those high rise, even though no, there should be a certain height restriction. They're just not listening to anyone and just going granting these things. So why is that? Why is that all disjointed?
Well, like a prime example of a more planola, I suppose, coming back in terms of, like, when we look at the plan that was given to us on the O'Devany Garden lands in regard to the amount of houses and homes that were going to be built and apartments built on that land, I think the figure was in the high 700s or low 800s. They've come back now with a revised plan. You know, and the conditions of the sale of this land were on the presentation of the plans that were put in front of us to the council. And those plans, were represented to Central Area Committee only a couple of weeks ago. And we looked at those plans, there's over 1,000 units going to be built on that land again. You know, again, more profit into Bartra Capital in terms of that development and that land. And we're in a position, you know, where those units now are high rise, they've gone up 14 stories. You know, it's not the original plan that was presented to council. Yeah. So what we seem to have is developers running amok On Board Planála, not sticking to their guns in terms of actually chastising these developers and telling them, okay, look, there's an issue here. You know, you need to go back and you need to go back to the drawing board. And what they seem to be doing is packing in as many possible units as they can on land that's being gifted to them by whether it be Dublin City Council or any other councils right up and down the country. And you're 100%, it does stink. But until we change that political narrative in regard to what way we move forward in housing in this country, we're going to continue to see this happening.
I know. And all of this is happening at a time when housing and our homeless people, you know, it's on the increase again. You're seeing that yourself. I mean, there was a bit of a decrease there, about 275 homeless families. Mm-hmm. You'd seen a decrease between April of 2020 and April of this year. But now, you know, looking at figures from June there, there's been a rise again, 79 families and rising.
And what we have is a false positive here. We're in a situation where through COVID-19 there were a lot of, I suppose, implementations in terms of decanting some of the hostel units. You know, we saw an increase in the availability of units, particularly in Dublin, You know, where many people that were working for companies in Dublin, you know, that may not be from Ireland, either travelled home, and that freed up an awful lot of apartments within. And we saw an awful lot of, we saw a major increase in regard to HAP availability, and landlords that never accepted HAP before now accepting HAP or looking for. You know, we had landlords banging down our door asking us, have we got clients that needed units, because they had so many units free over the last six or eight months. Mm. But what we have to look at there is, again, you know, the housing assistance payment has paid out over $2 billion over the last number of years. That's more money that we're invested into private landlords, you know, and we're not building social and affordable housing out of that money. We're in a situation, you know, where some of the units that were taken are only taken on 1 year leases. People are moved out of hotels. We stopped using some of the hotels and we put them into Stay City apartments and other apartments right across the city. But they're all given on short term leases, which actually means that those individuals will end up back in homeless services at some stage, because many of these providers that are providing us with the likes of those Airbnb apartments or staycation apartments are going to look for those apartments back as soon as this city starts to rejuvenate and revitalise itself and we see the tourist market on the increase. Many of the hostels that are open at the moment, you know, that would be accommodating many of the individuals or single individuals that are in homelessness at the moment, are those that provided services to tourist market, that now provide services to homeless services. And one of the biggest issues is, and a question that I had into the council only last month, was the standards in terms of these hostel providers, you know, and the training that they have. Because what we have is an issue in terms of you know, supports, and a particular niche of supports that are needed for individuals that are homeless. Many of the, those individuals that are staying in our hostel environments may have issues in regard to whether it be mental health or substance misuse, you know, and may need additional supports in terms of their own life, you know, and these private providers are certainly not able to provide those supports. You know, we're not looking at a trauma-informed care method of providing these supports over the last number of years within homeless services, and that's at its detriment, because what we've seen is an increase in the amount of people that are dying within homeless services. You know, so what when we hear that there was good news for some months, you know, that the homelessness certainly hasn't went away, and the issues that are arising surrounding homelessness are definitely not going away. If anything, what we're going to see over the next coming weeks, I would say, and even months, is an increase in the amount of people that are entering homeless services as the city gets back to normal. A lot of those units are taken back from us.
Well, this is it, and we're going to see an awful lot of more families, you know, from the private rental market because of the removal of the COVID-19 protection for renters. Yes. So it's going to just rise and get worse.
And over the last month, we've already seen that, you know, Threshold and other organisations, and I suppose some of our partner organisations, even in Cork, you know, are seeing those increases already. You know, we've seen an increase in the amount of letters and termination notices that are being provided to, that are being provided to families there. At the moment as well. So, you know, we're definitely not out of muddy water here. You know, there's been a tsunami that's been on the way for a very, very long time. Unfortunately, what's going to happen is this is all going to happen at once. And I believe before Christmas of this year, what we probably would see is probably some of the highest numbers of people entering homelessness or re-entering homeless services, because the fact of the matter is we haven't done it right. And going forward, you know, a lot of people are going to suffer. A lot of people are going to end up back in these hostel environments and hotel environments.
Yes. Well, we saw there the other day on the news, Mary Lou from Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald, giving it gusto to Micheál Martin and, you know, saying that there were no solutions and that you weren't coming up with solutions. But I'm sure you're going to meeting upon meeting and putting forward solutions to them.
We're in a situation where, you know, even this morning at the Central Area Committee, we see a presentation on the voids across the city, and in particular the voids that are in, and a void would be a unit that the council would own that would be empty, that would might need refurbishment. We might have had somebody to pass away in one of those units. You might have had, you know, somebody may have had a three-bedroom and come down to a one-bedroom because they didn't need that size of a home anymore, and those all have to be refitted and so forth, you know. And what we're seeing is that we're not getting the void turnarounds quick enough either. They've said they've brought down the length of period it is taken to, you know, but I've seen flats, there's five flats empty in every house. They've been empty for over a year now. Why aren't we putting people into these units? You know, what we seem to have is a system that's being broken. It's been continuously broken, you know, and I suppose it's been masked for a very long time now, for the last 18 months because of COVID-19. You know, and COVID-19, you know, as serious as the issue is in terms of you know, what this country has faced over the last number of months. It certainly doesn't take away from the failures that we've seen in terms of housing, in terms of mental health supports, in terms of education. You know, and all of these issues are going to be back on the table. These were, you know, the most prevalent issues, you know, when we saw the elections. Going back 2 years ago, it was a situation where housing was, you know, the main priority. It was on the list. We hammered home housing. We saw the Boyle election in Dublin South Bay, and we've heard nothing but, you know, generation rent and, you know, affordable homes. But what we're not seeing is that actually transpire into real life. And it certainly hasn't since the government have been elected. And I suppose what we have is officials that are either in the department or in Dublin City Council, and that it doesn't matter who is in power, they're continuing on the way they always have and they always will. You know, what we need to have is radical change in terms of how we provide housing and how we provide homes and sustainable communities in this country.
This is it, that, you know, you see it in other European countries. And I mean, even in the US, people have long-term leases. They have rent, you know, freeze, that the rent isn't going up and up and up year on year. You see it, as I said, in European countries where they have these lovely social housing developments where people can live out their whole lives because they can move, as you say, there people are transferring, they can move from their family where they lived with their family and whatever, they're on their own, they can go then and downsize into a one bed, whatever, as their needs change.
And we only have to look at the RTE Primetime Investigates programme that was on a couple of months ago in regard to, you know, the shoddy housing that's being provided by private operators where, you know, one landlord had up to 16 people living in one and they were sleeping in beds on shifts, you know, and that was in my own area. There were two of those units operated by that landlord in the central area. I actually visited that home the next day, you know, and I call it a home, but it was far from that, you know. And speaking to the people that were living there, you know, and telling me that it was a situation where they were sleeping in beds on 8-hour shifts. When one person went to work, somebody else used the bed. It was absolutely horrific and horrifying. Yeah. But the problem is that we haven't got the proper enforcement in this country in order to make sure that these landlords who are earning millions of euros in terms of what they're doing and providing the units. And look, when we look at it, it's not up to scratch, you know. And we've only got a number of people in DCC enforcement that are able to ground this city and check on them. But again, we're back to the same situation where we should have proper legislation, we should have proper renters protections in this country. You know, government have failed renters, government have failed young people in terms of the provision of housing. There's a whole generation of people that will now never be able to afford a home. We're in a situation where, you know, people are paying 18, 19, 100 euros per month for a two-bedroom house in the city centre, but a situation where they can't get a mortgage for 800 or 1,200 euros because the banks are telling them, their banks are asking them, how are you going to be able to afford to pay that? Because, well, I've just been paying rent for the last 5 years of 1,900 euros. So it doesn't make sense and it certainly doesn't add up.
It definitely doesn't. As I said, it stinks. It just really does. The whole lot really does. And I really hope that a change is going to come and something has to be done. Because another thing, everything then goes to judicial review. Then people have to try to, you know, put if 60,000 or 100,000 at it to try to fight wrong planning, you know, and all of these things. It's nonsensical, the whole thing.
Yeah, no, and look, again, you know, we were meeting this week in terms of judicial review on the developments of Visba. And as I said, myself and Councillor Perry and Councillor Mannix are in a position where we've engaged with a legal team on that. And we're taking advice on that currently. But again, that costs money. And we shouldn't be in a position where councillors should have to bring this to a judicial review in order to get a proper decision or to get a decision that will represent or reflect what the community want or what the community need. These are not sustainable communities that are being built. These are built for rent, built for profit units that are being built. And shooting up right across the city, we saw with the student accommodation, the tax breaks that they got. You know, and all of those units are lying empty now because students are not back on site. Students are not back in college. And many of them are being used for homeless service facilities across the country now as well. You know, so what we have is this industry and this wheel that just keeps on churning. And, you know, and it's a serious, serious industry in terms of the amount of money that we're spending.
Oh, my goodness, I know. It's just, it would just depress you really, Anthony, wouldn't it? My goodness.
100% it would.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we could have a rant about it. We could be here all day.
Yeah.
But please God, you get something and bang a few heads together and get something done. And it's thanks so much for taking time out, because I know you're so busy. Yeah, good to talk to you. Take care. God bless. Now, Anthony Flynn there, Dublin City Councillor and CEO of Inner City Helping Homeless, talking about just the disgrace that is the housing and homeless crisis that we have. I'm going to take a break now.
This is Near FM
90.3.